Morning Show at Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in on this Tuesday morning. 1 week from today, Christmas Day. You take it a couple of days off here in the middle of the week. He'll be back on Friday. And John Chuckery filling in for him. We're talking a little college football with John coming up during the show. And, of course, continuing to follow the latest developments out of Athens on the reports late last night about Justin Fields transferring from Georgia. And Dan Wolken, the man who broke the story, will join us at 9:20 this morning. So we'll talk about that. The Falcons get ready, of course, for their final two games of the year. Last night, Saints beat the Carolina Panthers 12-9. In that game in Charlotte. Panthers are next for the Falcons, and of course the Panthers have lost six games in a row. Very interesting thing, John, that has been written by Michael Cunningham of the AJC that we want to get into in just a moment, but if I may, just a little bit of news. Ito Smith is now going on the IR, and that's going to put the Falcons in a bit of a you got Tevin Coleman, Brian Hill. Well, what do you got?
Well, you have to piggyback that with the fact that Devontae Freeman is not going to play this year. I mean, right. He's not practicing this week, and he won't be ready this week, and there's no reason to bring him back for one game. So that you have to piggyback that with it. So you lose both Ito and the fact that Freeman is not coming back this year.
Yeah, here is Dan Quinn talking about Freeman not returning to the team this year, or at least certainly sounds like he's not going to be returning to the team.
No update as far as moving forward to play. So we're more likely in the space, on the IR where he's not ready to practice yet. And so unless that would change this week, that's probably where we sit.
You know, I know some fans are like, wait a second now. You guys were talking about how, we don't want to sit Matt Ryan because, we want – if you're healthy, you can play. And Deion Jones comes back, and if you're healthy, you can play. Well, what about Devontae? If he's healthy, he can play. Well, he's not healthy. That's the point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference. There's also a big difference between having a guy healthy for 1 week at the end of the season in what doesn't matter at this point. I mean, you saw last week, even Matt Schaub got his time. And don't be surprised if one of these games or both these games get out of hand one way or another, Matt Schaub will get some playing time.
Yeah, it could get quite a bit of playing time, especially in Tampa.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Don't arbitrarily sit your starting quarterback, though, in the NFL.
No.
That's not what happens. Unless he's not playing well.
These games are a little bit different. The Tampa game certainly is different. At the moment, Carolina's still alive in the playoffs. When you get to the Tampa game and neither team is alive, then the NFL is not going to really – they're not going to side-eye you. But if you go into a game where a team – you're going to be potentially impacting the playoffs, which this week potentially impacts the playoff, and you suddenly sit Matt Ryan, the NFL is going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
Slow your roll here, So they're going to have a problem with that. So Michael Cunningham of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution writes this. He says, I don't think that the window opened by Dimitroff and Ryan, that's Thomas and Matt, has closed just yet, but so many things have gone wrong that you wonder how much space is left. How do you take that?
Can I ask you and Wendy a question?
Sure.
What's y'all's expectation of the Falcons next year? What are you expecting? What kind of expectation are you setting?
A deep playoff run.
I had 10 wins of playoffs, yes.
Okay. Because I'm Super Bowl or bust, just like I was this year.
Well, that's a different, what do I want? Super Bowl or bust?
No, but
what's my expectation?
Should be Super Bowl or bust.
Well, it's going to be a very good team. I mean, my expectation is they're going to be back. And they're going to win at least 10. And they're going to be a playoff team. And I would hope, and this is why just so that I can finish answering this, I need to see what moves they make in the offseason. Let me see, do they go out and get big-name free agents? Who do they draft? Who do they keep? I have to see a lot of things.
What difference does that make?
It makes a lot of difference between 10 wins and Super Bowl.
Are they getting rid of Matt Ryan?
Well, but they have to fix an offensive line, John.
Okay. John, you had 4 year five starters from the year before when you were in the division around the playoffs.
I understand. I know.
So, and I'm not telling you what my point to this, John. See, this is what scares me. I shouldn't say scares me, but we need to hold this franchise accountable to this is our window. And Arthur had asked a question to the bullpen about Julio Jones. You've got these guys. Go win the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear about different things.
Arthur, ask your question because the audience doesn't know what he's talking about Julio Jones.
The question I asked was, given everything that has happened this year and given the fact, and this does not diminish any of Julio Jones's talent capabilities, I know he was promised that they would look at his contract at the end of the season. Would you still do that at this point?
Yes.
And I wanted to know what each of you guys felt. Yeah. I don't know if I would do
He's
that.
He's your right best now. Player, and you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
I understand all of that, but you have him under contract. He's not mm-hmm. going anywhere.
No, but you have to make him happy. And if that's what makes him happy, just like they gave him whatever. But Arthur pulled a couple million out of his pocket, you know, his folding money, and gave it to him this year. That's what you do.
I understanding all of that, but running the risk of signing him to more money that prevents you from signing some of your younger key guys that are approaching contract years, is it worth it? That's
because he's your best player. With all due respect, it'd be one thing if we're talking about Mohamed Sanu. He's your best player. I mean, Matt Ryan is the most important player on this roster. Julio is the best player on this roster.
So if that's the case, is he going to be paid more than Matt Ryan?
No, of course not. I mean,
because the pecking order of the way the league works.
Right, exactly. I mean, wide receivers don't make what quarterbacks
make.
Yeah. To this point, yes, the window's open. And to Cunningham's question, you know, Cunningham again says he doesn't think that the window opened by Dimitrov and Ryan has closed just yet, which it hasn't. I'm glad you think that, Michael. But so many things have gone wrong that you wonder how much space is left. Well, I'll tell you just how much space is left. 4 years. That's what you got. You got 4 years left.
Probably. Could be even three.
Could be three, but I'm going to say four. Matt Ryan turns 34 in May. I think you got four seasons left.
But that's my point is we need to be – there's no reason for us as fans to not think Super Bowl or bust again next year because – excuse me, you are going to get everybody back. And most importantly is you have your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that your head coach is going to be back and everything. So, fixing the offensive line here, making a move here, that's fine. But the main components of your Super Bowl team are going to be here next year. Matt's here, Julio's here, Dan Quinn's here, Debo's here.
Keanu.
Right. No matter what Brady. Kinds of, you know, moves you make, you know, whether Sanu is here, not here, you know, whether Vic Beasley is here or not. The reality is the core of the guys that are going to get you to the Super Bowl will be here, and that should be everybody's expectation. I don't want to hear about, well, I hope we can make the playoffs and turn it around. Screw that. Our roster is set to be get to the Super Bowl. I mean, if not now, when?
No. This is why, you know, how much space is left? 4 years is what your space is. So how much, you know, so much has gone wrong is, you know, let's assume that Keanu and Rico and Devontae and maybe, you know, Brandon Fusco are all healthy. So let's assume that. And you come in, at least come into the season healthy and, you know, you don't get snake bit again. Let's assume that there's going to be some – we don't even know yet if there already has been a change in offensive coordinator because that's the way Dan Quinn operates. Suddenly the offense is working and people are going, is Craig Knapp really running the offense now?
Oh, I think you're going to see a lot of offensive personnel changes. I think you're going to see a lot of coaching staff changes. I think you're going to see a special teams coaching change, too.
Yeah, I think you can see both, you can see three, right? Well, maybe even four or five coaches.
Oh, yeah, I think most all of their offensive staff. I wouldn't be surprised if Greg Knapp is literally the only guy they bring back next year on the offensive staff. And I think Keith Armstrong probably is not here either.
Yeah, and the question with Greg Knapp is, do you make him the offensive coordinator? Or do you, at this point, see, this is the thing with the OC. Let's presume that Sark is gone and you have Greg Knapp. The question then falls, if I'm Thomas Dimitrov, I'm talking to Dan Quinn, and I'm saying to Dan, man's got number two's got 4 years left. It's his call. If he wants Dirk Koetter, I'll pick up the phone.
Yeah, I mean, I would think at this point with 11 years in, Matt gets the benefit of the doubt of what he wants to do at this point. I'm not telling you he's going to make the exact hire, but I give Matt the benefit of the doubt. And at this point, if you can't trust Matt Ryan, I don't know what you can do. I mean, so I'm not telling you he needs to be the OC, but just – you give Matt Ryan the benefit of the doubt of what direction he wants to go.
So we're talking about the Falcons and how fast they have to go before this window of Matt Ryan closes. And by the way, understand this, that just because the Matt Ryan window closes doesn't mean another window doesn't open up. Some teams get lucky. Some franchises can have a Brett Favre window open into an Aaron Rodgers window. That can happen. And it might happen here. And I think that by next year, not this year, but by next year, the Falcons are really going to have to start thinking quarterback in the draft. By next year.
I think they had a couple more years. I mean, Matt Schaub won't be back next year.
No, Matt Schaub will not be back next year.
So probably, you know, what's his name? Benkert, the kid out of Virginia, is probably your backup next year.
Or you go get somebody else.
Yeah, or they get some other veteran. Usually once you get, you know, the way the NFL works is a lot of times when you have that kind of cagey veteran at quarterback, your backup is the young guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you got the young guy that starts for you, you've got that experienced veteran as your backup.
Sure, of course, I understand that.
Yeah, so at this point, probably Benkert gets a shot to be the backup quarterback.
Well, you're certainly not, obviously not going to look at quarterback this year. But by next year, I think you have to start kind of speaking around the corner and thinking, you know, if you're not going to do it. Well, I mean, it means that, you know, you may have to trade up at some point, make a big, bold move.
You're not trading up in the next two or three years to go get a quarterback.
Well, it depends. If Matt Ryan's time is running down.
If Matt Ryan breaks his leg, I understand.
I mean, unless you feel you get a little bit lucky and fortunate, like apparently the Saints do. Well, Drew Brees doesn't look like he's good. I mean, I don't know how much longer Drew Brees is going to play, but it looks like Drew Brees could play another 3 years. I would think.
Oh, yeah. In this league today, absolutely.
I mean, you know, so, and by the way, that doesn't mean that Ryan at age 38 can't play another couple. He could play till he's 40. I mean, we could have six more years of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're not going to have six more years of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and six more years of, you know, some of these other guys because that's just the nature of the NFL.
Yeah, I think Julio at 31, 32 is a lot different than a Matt Ryan at 31, 32 when you talk about injuries and beat-up factor and different things like that. Matt's been remarkably healthy.
Right.
I mean, when you figure he's only missed two games because of turf toe in his NFL career, that's obscene. I mean, to have done all that. That's why.
Especially considering the hits that he's taken.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for Ben Roethlisberger, who's come out and said, I'm going to be gone in 3 years, and you know he gets beat up every year, and he's probably going to miss time anyway, for them to go draft a Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. You understand that. We're not in that position yet. I mean, I hate to say, but. And you have to balance between how far in the future do I look, but also balance, I got to win today. I mean, let me ask you this. This team, if this team, for whatever reason, is not a playoff team next year, I'm not sure Dan Quinn's back for that following season. They're not a playoff team next year. I think they move on from Dan Quinn. They might move on from Thomas Dimitroff at that point. It might be time because you have to capitalize on what your window is.
I'm not arguing with you. I think.
And by the way,
the bear. What? No, you just.
I think what just happened with 73,000 people a couple Saturdays ago.
Oh, I know.
Also, probably looks in the back of Arthur's mind.
Oh,
and
I'm sure it does.
This is awesome. This is great. I want that Lombardi Trophy for our case, though.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you had it so close and you had it in your hands 3 years ago. I know.
Yeah.
And so, no, I'm not arguing your point. I mean, that's why I said, you said, what's your expectation? And I guess the bar is you better get to 10 and you better get to the playoffs. That's the bar. That's the minimum bar.
Yeah, that should be the bare minimum is that they're a playoff team. Because like I said, if they're not a playoff team, then I think you see a lot more sweeping
because
types of changes.
Especially if you can, you know, even though nobody wants to use injuries as an excuse, injuries are an excuse. I mean, they are a fallback.
Few weeks. Yeah, I mean, for this year, you're going to get the benefit
right.
of the doubt.
But
yeah.
if you don't have injuries next year and you're doing this again and you're losing to the Clevelands of the world and the way you lost and you're, you know, because the most damning indictment of this team was not injuries. It was not the failures and the, you know, turnovers against the Saints inside the 20-yard line or whatever, or not being able to get a touchdown and go from the half-yard line. The most damning indictment is what Devondre Campbell said after the Cleveland game.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, they've had several of those moments, though. I mean, you weren't hurt against Philadelphia to start the year.
No, I know.
And you played their backup quarterback.
I know.
And why the injury?
By the
thing,
way, they may be better with their backup quarterback, but that's beside
the
point.
They're going to start Foles. I mean, even they're not going to put Wentz on IR. But you've had your if all Desmond Trufant has to do is catch an interception against the Bengals and they win that game.
Oh, I know.
I mean, there are enough of those moments of non-injury factors that played in that.
I totally get that. I'm just saying, I mean, you cover A.J. Green. I get it. You know, I mean, right, you tackle Drew Brees. All those things. You know, the failures to make plays, the lack of ability to make plays when you had to make a play. Because this team, obviously, you look, even though the Redskins are, you know, struggling and the Arizona Cardinals are struggling, when you have struggling teams, when you put your throat on their neck and beat them down like they did those two games, says, you know what, you got a pretty good team. I mean, you still have to be a pretty good team to be able to do that to a struggling team. They are a pretty good team. It won't shock me if they go out and win, beat Carolina, beat Tampa.
Here's my problem with this Falcons team right now. We're talented enough, John, that we beat teams off talent. Last week was, we're way more talented than Arizona, and they're not a good football team, and they came to our place, and we're going to out-talent them. If we don't win through our talent, we don't seem to win games. I mean, we don't seem to – when our talent doesn't play, we can't out-scheme anybody. We can't Take the Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh had a bunch of its defensive personnel that was hurt in that game. They schemed their way into a defensive game plan, blitzing and making life tough for Matt, exposing matchups. They didn't win because of just output. And by the way, they had their backup running back in there too. I mean, arguably the best running back in the entire NFL didn't play in that game. And the guy who was his backup went off. They figured out how to scheme and figure out how to win to get the. We don't do that. And that bothers me that we don't do that. When our talent's on the field, we can out-talent everybody. When it's time to make the hard decisions and scheme and figure things out, we just don't do enough of that.
Which is why we may need to have new coaches next year who can maybe do that.
I hope. I mean, the head coach and GM and everybody is going to be there, but I think the offensive personnel staff is going to be changed.
Saints won last night. We'll tell you what that means. Plus, Arthur's got some questions for us. We're going to do a little NFL rapid fire, some of the bigger questions of the day, and John and I are going to take our shots at them. You should, too. Stay in your car, and you can answer these as well. Next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who wants a ring? It's the greatest show on turf.
Championship mindset, let's go.
Be focused, get in there and open a can, all right?
Championship right here, boys.
Go.
And this season, it's in our own backyard. Keep listening as we bring you Super Bowl 53.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are 47 days away from Super Bowl 53 here in Atlanta, and that stellar week that will crown a new champion in the National Football League. Well, I say new champion, who knows, maybe the Philadelphia Eagles find a way to wind themselves into the playoffs. I mean, you know, hey, fine by me, Philadelphia, get into the playoffs. As long as you get out of that swamp and knock those people out and keep them from bringing their stink up here, I'm all for it. I'll be the biggest Eagles fan in the world, the biggest Cowboys fan, the biggest Bears fan, the biggest Rams fan. Biggest Patriots fan, biggest Chiefs fan, biggest Steelers fan, don't care.
Even the Patriots?
Yeah, even the Patriots. I'd root for, like, Iran against the New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
What? I've got nothing to say to you today. I just told you, don't let February happen.
The Saints last night won a game. It was ugly. It was not very pretty, but they won a game 12-9 in 10 innings against the Carolina Panthers. This is the Saints' big offensive highlight of the day.
Second down and three. Saints to the Carolina 16-yard line, 12-20. They trail by one. Breeze is under center. He's going to give the handoff to Kamara out to the right side. Lots of room. Running towards the front pylon. Walks into the end zone. And the Saints with their first touchdown of the night. 16 yards, Alvin Kamara.
WWL and the Saints Tin Can Radio Network as the Saints get on the board. And they win 12-9 in an ugly.
Well, the crazy part was the two-point conversion.
Yeah. Well, he returned for 2 points, yeah. Right? Yeah, I know.
Carolina picked him off and ran it back for
100 and some odd yards.
Yeah.
I know. Drew Brees talking about this win after the game.
Bottom line is, you go on the road in the division, especially Monday Night Football, against a team that has a ton to play for, right? They're still fighting for a playoff spot. And you know it's going to be a battle.
What did they have during the Falcons game? What was Drew Brees pimping on commercials? Yeah, Drew Brees commercials running. Visa
card.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he's doing the pay or whatever that thing is.
And did anybody at Visa understand that? Anything anybody at Atlanta's going, oh, Drew Brees is pimping a Visa, let me go get one? I'm just saying.
It's a national commercial, John.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a national
what
broadcast.
What is wrong with you today?
Yeah. What, did you want Tyson Brao to do that commercial for you? Or, I mean, what would you want?
Jet Jones. I mean,
Dominique can't have every commercial. Country Fed Meat is gone.
You can't miss with Country Fed Meat.
Yeah,
I remember that commercial.
You want Harmon Wages out there? I mean, what do you
want? Hey, Charmin Harmon's a buddy of mine. I like him. Come on.
Or as Neil Bortz used to call him, Hormone Wages.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, so he had a bit of a rep. All right, so what?
You know, that's he would be in my foursome. Like, I want to go to Hal's.
Yeah.
And I want Harmon Wages, Neil Bortz, Bob Neal, and Bo Bach. That's my four.
That's an interesting four. I think Bob Neal might beg out of that for some, but okay.
No, he might buy.
Here I say, I don't know. All right, let's do it. Let's have a little fun. So the Saints go to 12-2, they're the number one seed, blah, 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 blah. Let's have a little fun, Arthur, and talk a little rapid fire.
Well, all right, John, and welcome, John, to our version of NFL Rapid Fire. Here's a question. I want to see if you guys know your NFL. Can you name the Cowboys quarterback the last time they were shut out in a game?
By the way, we haven't researched any of this intentionally.
I didn't even know he was going to do this.
Should be.
I didn't
know.
I'm going to say Jason Garrett.
I'm going to say Quincy.
Bingo.
Quincy Carter.
Point
there you go.
John.
Because you said you should be familiar. So I figured Quincy.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Cowboys had gone 243 games, straight games, without being shut out. Do you know what the record is for that?
Say that again.
I said the Cowboys had gone 243 straight games without being shut out.
Uh-huh.
So the record is held by John's hated team, the Saints, 269 games.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
Hey, which coach is history in your minds, guys? Is it Dirk Cutter, Vance Joseph, Todd Bowles, Doug Marrone, or Marvin Lewis? Or will we get a surprise choice?
Well, Cutter's out. Vance Joseph, I think he's out. Todd Bowles is out. I think they're all out. Marvin Lewis doesn't ever get out.
Yeah, I was going to say, Marvin Lewis isn't going anywhere. Yeah. They might give Todd Bowles one more. I think Doug Marrone is in real trouble, given how far back Jacksonville went this year.
Speaking of Vance Joseph, can the Broncos really trust John Elway to do the right thing by that franchise? He considered firing, and the reason I say that is because he considered firing Joseph and replacing him with Mike Shanahan.
Mike Shanahan.
Jeez. Well, the deal is, can they find a quarterback? I mean, he's not been able to find the next quarterback.
Arthur's point. Here's the problem with John Elway. He compares everybody to himself, and maybe Peyton Manning was comparable. Nobody else is. That's his problem.
Yeah, obviously.
All right, guys. Question number four. Word is Joe Flacco won't be back in Baltimore. So where do you think he plays next season?
Oh, that's a good question.
He can still start in this league. He'll start for a bad team.
Jacksonville?
That's in rebuild mode. Oh, God, no. I think Jacksonville. Jacksonville
Miami?
Can't waste their opportunity with a Joe Flacco right now.
Miami?
Getting rid of Ryan Tannehill and all that down there? I don't know. It's going to be a team that is not really good.
How about Washington? I mean, what do you got there? Alex Smith doesn't play again.
Yeah. I mean, it could very well be a Washington.
I mean, you may not even have to move.
He feels like that transitional quarterback of, we drafted somebody, they're not ready to play yet, I need a year or two out of Flacco.
As a matter of fact, here's some good news that we got yesterday regarding Alex Smith. He is now checked out of the hospital. He will continue his rehab at home. Doesn't mean he will ever play again. That we won't know that for several months, maybe somewhere down the road. But he is out of the hospital. At 9-5, the Patriots have the most regular season. The Patriots have currently the most regular season losses they have had since 2009. Are their glory days officially over?
You know, they may have one more playoff run in them, but I think the glory days, the high heydays of the Patriots are over.
Until you tell me they can be beaten multiple years in a row and kept out of the Super Bowl, then I'll believe it. Until then,
would it shock you if they?
I ain't betting against that group.
If they don't make it this year, then would it shock you if Brady Hill just up and said, I'm done?
I think he wants to play.
I'm just asking.
I don't think he wants to go home. I think he wants to play. You know?
There's something you know.
Yeah. Could be a little crazy out there, you know? But I think Tom wants to play. I think that's the thing is that, I don't know, I don't think Tom knows what to do with himself again.
All right, I'm going to test your brain power again. Khalil Mack, Darryl's favorite player, has 12 and a half sacks on the year. How many do you believe John Gruden's Raiders have right now?
How many sacks do the Raiders have?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say 10.
I'll say 9.
They've got 11.
Right. Wow.
Wow.
So you traded your best player, and you're stuck with 11 sacks.
So what are they going to do with Derek Carr?
That's a very good question. I think they overpaid him, and they rushed to do so.
I think he's a very overrated quarterback.
Joe Flacco got overpaid. Derek Carr got overpaid. I mean, yeah.
The difference with Joe Flacco is he won a Super Bowl for you.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Huge
Derek Carr was just next in line.
Next question, guys. Which early season hot team is more apt to fail in the playoffs, the Rams or the Chiefs? I'll give you a bonus. Add the Saints to that if you want.
Oh, the Chiefs. You trust the Chiefs with that head coach?
No.
Okay. I don't care how good Pat Mahomes and them have been. I don't trust Andy Reid and that group. How would I trust them?
And actually, it's the Rams. I don't trust Jared Goff.
What do you think is happening?
He's not played well, that's for sure, lately.
Do you think his arm has gotten tired?
I don't know what it is. I just don't think he – you know, we saw him in the playoffs last year, obviously, when the Falcons boat raced him out in L.A. Yeah. I just don't trust Jared Goff. So, I trust Pat Mahomes, even though it's only his first year, because he just plays with such abandon. And I'm going to say the Rams.
I just don't trust Andy Reid and that crew. Never trust him.
Interesting. As far as the Rams are concerned, their offensive line was taking a lot of hits from everybody yesterday over a lot of the national media shows. And given the fact that the Eagles beat them on Sunday, they're still going to stick with Nick Foles at quarterback. Are you surprised that this is still a question?
Well, they're not going to IR Carson Wentz, they said yesterday. So, look, say what you will. Nick Foles, I mean, even when Wentz was in there this year, he definitely looked like he took a step back. And say what you will, Foles won them a Super Bowl. You can at least trust him. I mean, Wentz is obviously the future, but they feel like they can trust, I guess, Foles enough and don't want – I guess they really worry about the long-term health of what Wentz is enough to say no need to even try to play him at this point.
Right, exactly.
And your final question for the day, guys, are the Cowboys, yes, those Dallas Cowboys, the most puzzling team in the NFL?
I think the Falcons are the most puzzling team in the NFL.
But. Yeah. No, I think Minnesota is. I think Minnesota is a team that everybody thought should roll in that division with how good their defense was. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook 1 week runs for 220 yards, and the next week they can't run the football. Kirk Cousins, for all the money that you paid him, has been at best average. It was a bad pick six that he had to actually put Miami right back in that game on Sunday. So Minnesota, I mean, the fact that Minnesota shouldn't have a tie. That was the worst call in the NFL this year, was that Clay Matthews hit on Kirk Cousins that led them to be able to tie that game. They should be a 7-7 football team right now. So they're kind of really puzzling about how much of a step back they've taken.
I think that's a good call. I'll give you another one, Steelers. If you told me right now the Steelers were the Super Bowl, I go, okay. You know, if you told me that they were one and done, I go, okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea which Steelers team is going to show up. None.
All right, Chuckery, great debut. John Fricke, feeling great as always.
Man, I feel lots of pressure off.
Hey, on this April, spend your spring break on vacation on a Royal Caribbean cruise with an Atlanta Football players, Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, Rico Allen, and Devondre Campbell. The cruise will be hosted by the voices of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Wes Durham and Dave Archer. It's the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network and all these players kicking off your season in style. The events page at 929thegame.com. For more information to book your cruise vacation today, that's the cruise with all the Atlanta Football players and the voices of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. All right, when we get back, the Hawks the worst team in the NBA? Are they? Because I don't think they are. Next with John and this morning, John Chuckery on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from your Game Time Traffic Center. It's here. Trying to get where you need to go today. It was busy all around town with crash activity at an incident 75 North before Forest Parkway. Also at 120 West near Panola, 20 East before Panola. And also if you're traveling 400 North.
Stream us anytime
using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta Sports 24-7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back into the very latest surrounding the potential, if not definite, transfer of Justin Fields away from Georgia. Where might he go, and what does it mean for the future of the Georgia Bulldogs? We'll get into that. We are running a poll right now, discussing it on Facebook and also on our Twitter, at 929 The Game. Quarterback Justin Fields, if he transfers, how big a loss is it to UGA football? You can say it's a huge Heisman-caliber loss, a tough loss, but we still have Fromm, or it's not a loss at all, bye-bye. And right now, 51% are saying tough loss, but we have Fromm, 28% saying huge Heisman-caliber loss, and 21% saying it's not bye-bye. I can understand the it's not bye-byes from Georgia fans, John. I really can. I can get that. I mean, you have every right to be a little bit disappointed, but at the same time, can't blame the kid.
Oh, no, you can't say anything bad about Justin Fields with doing it. It's just the state of college football. Like we said, there's no more DJ Shockleys. That idea, that concept is no longer.
The Atlanta Hawks get back in action tonight. They're at home against the Washington Wizards. You can go to the game at Hawks.com for tickets at the brand-new State Farm Arena if you want to go to the game and see the Hawks and the Wizards. As a matter of fact, we're going to give somebody an opportunity right now to win two tickets to the game tonight. Caller number 7 at 404-741-0929 is going to win two tickets. So lucky number 7 at 404-741-0929 wins two tickets to the Hawks and Wizards tonight. Again, tickets available at Hawks.com. Our coverage begins at 7 with a pregame show on Andy Bunker. At 7:30, Real Voice of the Hawks, Steve Vollman on the call. Okay, so the John Chuckery in for Hugh today. John, the last three-game road trip, the Hawks gave up 387 points in three games.
Whew. Man. That's the story of the year, though, isn't it? They don't play any defense.
They play no defense.
Yeah. Man. You didn't bring in Trae Young thinking that he was going to stop anybody, though, right?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But he really has hit a rough patch here.
Well, and we're going to talk Travis Schlenk, and I'm curious about, you know, we're 30 games in. This will be game 30 for the Hawks. You know, now you're into where a few more games, John, and this is as much basketball in a season as young guys have played in college. I mean, you know, top teams in the country that make a big run in the NCAA tournament play, what, 34 games?
34? Oh, no, if you go all the way to the finals, you might play 40, 41.
Seems a little bit high. I thought it was like 34, 35.
You'll play 30 to 31 regular season games. You have three games in your conference tournament, and you can play six in the play. So four, you can get to 40 if you play in the title game.
So not even half a season. You know, we're pretty close to half a season in the NBA. You start wondering about how guys make that adjustment, you know, because it's not just the games themselves. Being on the road and traveling and getting your feet adjusted and getting your sea legs underneath you for all of that as well. I don't want to say the wall. I don't think guys hit a wall just yet, but certainly life in the NBA, you know, you get deeper and deeper into that schedule. How do young guys handle and adjust playing the minutes and traveling and all that kind of stuff? And maybe you're starting to see little signs of that from guys.
Well, and I think the biggest thing you take away is now John Collins is healthy, and we'll talk again with Travis Schlenk at 8:20. But, I mean, with John Collins healthy, you're seeing the maturation of John Collins. He's going to be a really good NBA player. Already is, but he's going to be – going forward, he's going to really grow. I really like a lot of things about his game.
Oh, no question. I mean, I think that the upside is big. You hope that a guy like John Collins can be one of those building block pieces. I mean, you're going to need your superstars at some point to really compete in the NBA, but you hope that a John Collins is a guy who can take that next step forward and be maybe one of those three or four pieces that you have.
Yeah, and one guy I don't understand, quite frankly, is Taurean Prince. I mean, you know, he's not going to play tonight. He's a little dinged up, but you know, at the end of the year last year, he had a run where, I don't know, probably in the last 10, 12 games of the year, he had three or four 30-point outputs, right? And was really showing flashes of becoming kind of that dominant – well, not dominant, but that high-caliber wing player. And he's kind of just – there are flashes of it this year.
Yeah,
and
I think a lot of people – defensively – I mean, didn't a lot of people think maybe he could be a 20-point scorer? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, especially on a bad team. I think he expected a lot more all the way around with Taurean Prince.
And again, this, you know, a lot to ask from Taurean Prince and John Collins and Trae Young when you're getting your brains beat in by, you know, much better basketball teams at this point. But I don't think that necessarily the Hawks, as bad as they've been, are necessarily the worst team in the NBA. Phoenix is pretty bad.
Cleveland's dreadful.
Yeah, and the Bulls are a disaster.
Yeah.
They're fighting this whole thing after they fired their coach. Now they're interim coach who they don't want to play for. I mean, they've got all sorts. The Bulls have problems, you know. Cleveland has problems. Yeah. The Hawks don't have problems. The Hawks are just young, and this we have to go through.
Arthur, is Washington the most disappointing team in the Eastern Conference thus far?
Yeah, they are, and they've been that way for the past 4 or 5 years. In my opinion, I think they need to make a wholesale change with their front office. Ernie Grunfeld has been there for quite a while now, maybe more than a decade, and they've never been able to get on over the hump. They fired coaches. They've had players come and go, but he's been the one constant. And I think he needs to go. And in evidence by this recent trade that fell apart over the weekend and finally came together, it was initially, if you remember, it was supposed to be a three-team trade between Phoenix, Washington, and Memphis. Well, for some strange reason, Memphis backed out of the deal, and it only became a Phoenix and Washington situation because one of the organizations didn't know one of the players that was involved in the supposed trade.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, John, because 3 years ago, Washington and Toronto looked like two parallel running franchises with their young talent and where they were in the Eastern Conference. And you see how those teams have just completely separated themselves. I mean, those two franchises Because it's not like Beal and Wall aren't really good players. It's not like those guys aren't upper echelon types of players. Those two guys are terrific players.
And then on the other side, on the Western side, I mean, Houston, I don't know what's with them. I mean, they're barely a 500 ball club.
Yeah.
If you didn't see the highlight, it's worth going to Twitter or to Googling it from last night, where James Harden literally took five steps to step back for a three-point. I mean, he literally stops, picks up the dribble, takes two steps, takes another half step, and then jump steps to two more, and shoots a three.
I think it was before last night, right? All three teams in Texas weren't in the playoffs, right? And now Dallas is back in, but I think literally like one or two nights ago, all three, I mean, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio were not playoff teams.
I mean, he's out there playing. I mean, but Harden, if you see the highlight,
he's
out there playing hopscotch.
Yeah.
The referees don't notice that. What game exactly are you? How many referees are there in an NBA game?
But why would you think they're ever going to call that?
Well, I mean, isn't it obvious?
Does it matter?
Apparently not.
You think he's the only guy that does things like that? I mean, the top guys are going to get away with everything they can get away with. You're never going to get those kinds of calls in the NBA. That's a fallacy. You know, when they say, like, you can call holding on every play in the NFL, you can call traveling and double dribble on every single play NBA.
Remember when college basketball a couple of years ago they were going to take palming, turning the ball over?
Yeah, turning the ball over.
Man, guys carry like nobody's business right now. I mean, they take a step, carry the ball, take a step, carry the ball. Right.
You could call that on every possession.
You know, we could have dribbled like that when we were younger, but no, you had to have your hand on top of the ball, you know, and, you know.
Oh, yeah, you had to fundamentally do it the right way.
Right. You couldn't carry it and flip it and all that kind of stuff. We didn't have that when I was playing. That would have been nice. We didn't have but 1.5 steps, and even then.
Well, you also had the peach basket.
I was going to say, I mean, when you had to play against George Mikan, I mean, it was, you know, a different era in the game.
I mean, the red, white, blue ball I liked.
That was also a different league.
You were covering the Lakers when they were in Minneapolis.
Did you have a red, white, and blue ball growing up?
Yes, I did, absolutely. Too.
Man, because you wanted it to rotate. You know, like Louis Dampier, you know, I mean, you wanted that thing to spin.
Still get one now. It's a part of the NBA's All-Star
Weekend. It's the money ball. It was always the money ball. Yeah.
All right, fine. Whatever.
How many ABA franchises did you cover?
None, actually. Okay. Are you happy? Not one. Watched ABA basketball TV, but didn't cover any of them.
Was it tape delayed back then?
No, it was live.
It was live, okay.
Yeah. I thought for sure he was a Virginia Squires kind of guy.
Yeah, I was going to say
Kentucky
Buffalo,
Colonels. Kentucky Colonels. Because, you know, Louis Dampier, you know, and that team.
Dan Issel. Yeah, Dan Issel on that team.
Right. You guys, I'm not going to. What am I going to do with you? Didn't New Orleans have a team down there that failed?
Yeah, the Buccaneers.
Yeah, the New Orleans Buccaneers.
They moved to
Memphis.
Yeah. Okay.
Your point?
No, I just.
Was that pre-jazz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The names should still be there.
Justin Fields transferring from Georgia. It is the hot topic right now, and we want to talk to you about it too. As we take your votes and your calls and your, you know, a lot of Georgia fans weighing in. Are you shocked that Justin Fields would up and leave Athens? Next. John and John this morning on Sports Radio 90. Enjoy the game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from the Game Time Traffic Center. Pretty busy for you out there today with...